There you go. All right.
All right. So, glad to see you all here. The Technology Leaders Program, great program. I've talked to a number of students in it, all enjoy it. If you aren't majoring in CS and are in the School of Engineering, I strongly encourage that. If you are majoring in CS right now, we can't help you. Sorry about that. So today we're going to talk about methods. But before we do that, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Yes? I'm sorry, is there problem? No, I believe that the feedback on the submission page should be correct now. If you still think it's incorrect, then you can post it on Piazza or send me email. Probably Piazza's better because then you can see if somebody else already posted it. Yeah, there was for about an hour and a half today, the feedback was wrong for everybody. That has been fixed. Other questions? Yes.
So my feedback is still wrong, but will it correct itself eventually?
Okay, so if you have submitted in the past 8 hours, then you have old feedback. And when it comes due, you'll get good feedback again. If you haven't, then you should have the correct feedback. Yes?
What is no feedback produced? Is that the error you guys are talking about?
Sorry?
No feedback produced.
No feedback produced, not sure why, is a suggestion that your code doesn't run. Okay, at least not on our grading server. It may have been a momentary error, but that is not what everybody was getting. Everybody used to be getting, you did everything wrong every single time. And you aren't getting that anymore. So if you've got that error, it means that something that we did not expect to go wrong went wrong. You can either try tweaking a line so you can resubmit and just seeing what happens, or you could try debugging and seeing if something weird happens.
Well, is it true that if you use system.exit?
If you use system.exit, all bets are off. The whole world might break.
So just don't use it.
Don't use it. Yeah, system.exit is sort of like destroy Java right now, don't finish whatever you're doing, which means feedback can't happen because you destroyed Java right then, so I couldn't create feedback. So if you use system.exit, your feedback will be garbage. Don't use system.exit. Other questions? Yes? I'm sorry? The next homework will be released right after the break. The next homework will be done in pairs. Okay, so you might want to start thinking about who you want to pair with. Homework 5 and homework 6 will both be done in pairs and different pairs. So try to find at least 2 people you like. Also, you can't cross pairs across lab boundaries, so you have to get a pair of somebody to work with from within your own lab. So we'll release that on the Monday right after break. We'll assign partners and talk about how that works. It will be writing various methods and preparing you sort of for what comes next. Did you have a question? No, I thought I saw your hand. Okay. Other questions? I should mention also about pairing. Pairing means working together, right? So if you're looking for people, we will assign people if you don't find somebody. But it's nice to find somebody who has a compatible schedule. This might be more important than somebody that you already like. But either way, you're welcome to start thinking about that now. We won't act on it until after the break. All right. So that said, we missed class on Monday. This has put us behind. We will move at the appropriate pace, and if that means moving the later part of the course, then we will. Right now, though, we think we may still be able to keep on track. We may move a little bit into Monday with some more methods. But we're going to talk about methods. I have encouraged you multiple times to read the chapter on methods, chapter 5 in the textbook. I'm going to assume you've at least glanced at it and try to clarify some material about it. And then we'll work through a few examples. We'll see a lot more examples and sort of other ways of thinking about it on Friday to more fully prepare you for this. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about 3 basic ideas. The difference between being static and non-static. The difference between turning something and being void, and the difference between parameters and arguments. And we'll talk about each of these so you don't have to know what they mean right now. So first, let's back up and talk about some stuff we've been using. Dot. The dot, we've been writing dot all over the place. What does dot mean? Dot means belongs to, apostrophe S. Okay? Is inside the thing that's inside of the other thing. So when I say system, dot out, dot println, I mean systems out println. I mean the println that is inside the out, that is inside system. Okay? It possesses, it's sort of inside of or belongs to are perfectly fine ways of thinking about dot. So we've been using dot all along. We're going to see more about why dot matters today. We've also been using parentheses. Parentheses following a name means two things. It means that name is the name of a method being a named action, right? A name we put around, some stuff we can do. And it also means I want to run that method. Okay? I want to actually do the thing the method describes, not just talk about it in abstract. So we've been using these all along, right? We've been using system.println parentheses stuff over and over again. This is what it means. And we'll start seeing why that meaning is important as we talk about methods. We've also seen the word class a lot. Public, class, whatever. That's the only place we've really seen it. We'll talk a lot more about classes the week after the break. So in 2 weeks, we'll talk a lot more about that. But there's basically three things that a class can be. A class can be a program. A program is a class that has a public static void main. Okay, and we'll talk about the rest of the public static void part today. But if it has a main, then it's a program. It can also be sort of a library or a collection of methods. So math, for example, has a lot of methods inside of it. Square root and sine and cosine and so on. It clusters them all up. Okay? J-option pane, the book talks a lot about J-option pane. We have never used it in class and probably won't. But if you've read those parts of the chapters, you have seen lots of examples of J-option pane having methods in it as well. And we're going to start writing library of methods classes today. A class can also be a description of a kind of object. So all of those types that aren't primitive types, string and scanner and so on, file and URL, all these things we use new for, those things are all classes. There's a string class, and there's a file class, and there's a scanner class. And that class describes what we mean by a scanner, or by a file, or by a string. Okay? So we'll start writing that kind of class in a couple of weeks. But right now we're going to focus primarily on the second one. A class can be a library or a collection of methods. Stores them all together, gives them a name. So that said, let's talk about static. We've seen static a lot. Public static void main string bracket record args. Static shows up there. We've seen it for defining constants. We've seen it in all these cases we have this static. And what does it mean? If I have x dot y, if x is the name of a class, then y is a static thing. Okay? Static means it belongs to the whole class, not any particular object. So for example, in the math library, I expect cosine to be static. Cosine is just a method. It does the same thing no matter which math you're using. Right? You don't make it doesn't do something different with my math versus your math. On the other hand, nextInt is not static because what nextInt does depends on which scanner you're asking nextInt. Right? nextInt for the keyboard will return me a different int than nextInt for a website or nextInt for a file. So the object matters for nextInt. It changes the behavior of the method, which means that nextInt is not static. It's static if it doesn't depend. It's non-static if it does. We'll be writing static methods this week. Talk some about non-static methods in a couple of weeks. Okay? But static means it belongs to the whole class. We don't need a particular object in order to run it. Another big idea, and we mentioned this some on Friday, but it's worth repeating, is the difference between defining a method and invoking a method. Okay, method's just a named piece of code. That's all it is. Defining a method is writing that code, writing the how-to. Invoking the method is doing what it says, following those steps. Okay? And keeping that distinction straight. Again, it's not a hard distinction, but it's an important one to keep straight. When I press the run button in Eclipse, all that's doing is invoking the main method in the current class. That's all it's doing. It's just invoking main. Okay? So we define main when we write the code. When we press the run button, we're invoking main. And they do different things, right? Writing code is not the same thing as pressing the button. So we've seen this already. We've also invoked methods when we've called println and so on. But we need to keep track of the difference between defining and invoking. We also need to think about the difference between parameters and arguments. I'll show an example of this on the next slide here, but first off, there's a difference between the idea of a formal parameter, which is what the writer of the how-to calls something, and the actual argument, which is what is actually provided. So when I'm writing a method, I'm going to write it in terms of a parameter. I'm going to write in terms of this name of whatever you're providing. And when you invoke it, you have to actually give me some arguments to run it with. People are sometimes sloppy with these names. They sometimes use parameter when they mean argument and vice versa. We'll try to be consistent throughout this course because this distinction is fairly important. So here's an example. It's roughly the same example we saw on Friday. It was worth reemphasizing. Okay? If I write a how-to, if I define a method on the left there, how to fry an egg is a parameter. If I say crack the egg into a pan, the egg is the parameter. Okay? It's the name I'm using in the how-to to describe the object that's being provided. When I invoke it, I provide an argument. An actual ostrich egg, an actual fishicket egg has to be provided to the method. So as I invoke it, I give it an argument that gets used as what the parameter is naming. This is similar to the idea of a variable. Think of the parameter as the variable name, and the argument is the value that goes in its box. Okay, and we'll see that's actually very much what's actually happening under the hood. The parameter creates a variable. The invocation puts a value into that, the value of the argument. What does that look like in Java? Here's our first bit of Java for today. So on the left, I've defined a method, f. I have defined it in a class called example. I have given this method one parameter, int x. Okay? That parameter is just what I'm choosing to call the int that must be supplied when you invoke x. I'm calling it x and I'm using it later on. Actually, I'm using it as part of what I'm using to invoke the println method. There's lots of methods here. Okay? On the right, I have another class. It has another method, public static void main string bracket bracket args. Okay? It's a method just like f is a method, although it's special because it's connected to the run button. And in this, I can see I'm invoking f. Now, we see a lot of the things we talked about earlier. For example, we see the dot. I have a dot right here, which means that the f that I'm talking about is the f in the example class. If I had written something other than example here, I'd be looking for f in a different class. But by putting that example there, I define which class I'm looking for f inside of. And then I provide an actual argument. I provide a 3 the first time. Then I provide, I guess, a 15 the second time as the value to be used in x while we're running f. So if I were to actually run the main method, I would see it prints 5, 17. Because first a 3 gets passed in, we add 2 to it and print. Then a 15 gets passed in, we add 2 to it and print. And so print out 5 and 17. Any questions at this point? Yes?
Are we only making public classes?
Good question. Public. What does the public mean? Public means you're allowed to use it from another class. This is a slight simplification, but that's essentially what it means. So if I had not made this public class example and public static void f, then I couldn't use example or f over from example usage user. So we'll make everything public for now. When we talk about how to define objects, we'll talk about why you might want to make a few things private instead, which means other classes can't use them. There's very specific reasons to do that when we're defining objects. When we're just making libraries of methods, we'll pretty much make everything public. Public classes, public methods, so that other classes can use them, so that they become more useful to us in general. Other questions? Okay. Return. A method is allowed to return something, give something back. Okay? If I ask somebody what's the square root of 4, I expect them to tell me 2. I don't expect them just silently think 2 and not tell me anything. I don't expect them to write it down somewhere. I don't expect them to create a file on their hard drive that stores 2. I expect them to give it back to me so I can use it. This is called returning in a programming language. So a method returns the result of the computation it's doing. Return is a keyword. It means 2 things. Okay? Keyword like if is a keyword, like for is a keyword, so on. It means 2 different ideas at the same time. One is, here's the result. Here's what you're giving back. And the other one is, stop the method now. Finish this method, go back to whatever asked this method to run. Because once I have the answer, the method stops. Okay? So 2 meanings of return. The main one is, here's the value. Not all methods have a return statement. Our F method, for example, does not have return anywhere inside of it. And that's because it is a void method. So every method has, after public and static, it has the type of thing it will return. It will always return the same type of thing. Every time I run square root, I get a double back, always. Okay. And if it returns nothing, we say void. The type that it returns is void. It does not return anything. So every time we've written public static void main, I mean other programs are allowed to use it, including the run button. Static means I don't need a particular object to run it on. I can run it in general. And void means it's not going to give anything back. It's just going to do what it does. So similarly there with public static void F, anybody can use it. We don't need a particular object to run it on. It doesn't return anything. And then the rest of it, what do you need to give it for it to run? So the return statement lets me return things, lets me give back values in a method that should give back a value, like square root. So, let's do an example. Here's the problem statement for the example. Example is carbon dating. Do we care about carbon dating? Some of you do, probably. Carbon dating is nice because it's very simple. You take the natural log and you multiply by a big negative number, and that tells you the age of a sample. Where the thing you put into the natural log is the relative concentration of carbon-14 in whatever you dug up and whatever's in the air. So this is how we find out the first approximation of how old archaeological digs are and so on, based on all kinds of assumptions about how carbon-14 concentration doesn't change in the air and yada yada. But this is how we do it. Okay? So what does that look like in code? I have here one class that has 2 methods in it. One's main. Main's purpose is just to run the other one. And the other one is carbon date. And it's an implementation of this description we just gave. Okay? And as we look at carbon date, we'll see several things. It's public. Anybody can use it. It's static. It doesn't have a particular data to run. It can run in general. It returns an int. Okay? So the return type is integer. It should always give back an int. It will never get back something other than an int. It will always give back an int. I give it whatever name I thought was good. And then I say it needs at least one and only one double in order to run. You have to give me a double. And while describing what we're doing, we're going to call that double concentration. We could have called it something else. It's just what we chose to call it. And then we just have, very simply, we use the math slog function, we multiply by the negative number, we cast as an int and return. Okay? The main method runs the function twice and prints out the results. So the code's not complicated. Let's walk through what it does. We're going to walk through every step along the way. The first thing that happens when I press the run button is it invokes method main. Anytime a method is invoked, memory is created. The piece of memory that's created is called an activation record. It is created on a piece of memory called the stack. These two phrases, activation record, stack, not vitally important to you. We'll see why it's called a stack in just a moment when we start stacking things on it. Okay? We create some memory for each method that's run. The memory that's created already has a variable for each parameter. So args is a parameter. Whoever invokes the method must supply a value for args. The run button will supply an empty array of strings, an array with length 0. Into that when we press run. Okay? But whoever invokes the method is responsible for it. In this case, it was the run button. So before we even begin, we already have memory for main. We already have a value for the parameter already there. And then we just start walking down the method. So int x creates a box for x. You can store an int. And to figure out what to put in that box, we have to invoke dater's carbon date method. Okay? So you have to look up carbon date inside the dater class. Fortunately, that's the class we're already in, so we just see it right there. And we're going to invoke that using 0.05 as the parameter. So the argument 0.05 gets copied in to the parameter concentration. And because we're invoking a new method, new memory is created. It is stacked on top of the old one. The old memory is still there, but we can't see it anymore. We've stacked something on top of it. We can't access any of its variables. Args is invisible to us. X is invisible to us. All we can see is this new piece of memory where we have copied over the value of the argument, 0.5, get copied into the value of the parameter. And this is how we begin running the method. Can't see anything but this. And then this method also runs in a similar fashion. It creates a variable that can store a double, and in order to figure out what goes in that, it first has to invoke a method in the math class. So Java will go up and look up the math class and find the log method and create memory for it, copy over the value of the concentration variable into that box, do whatever the log does. The log eventually will return a value. So that value, -2.99, will be copied over and replace the invocation. The return value is returned and is as if we had written that number where we invoked it. Once it returns, carbon date just picks up exactly where it left off. So it was halfway through computing the value of age. It will finish computing the value of age. It will then cast that value down to just 24,744. And it will return that value of 24,744. What does it mean to return? It means we replace this entire invocation with that number, back wherever it was invoked. The activation record goes away. That piece of memory is gone. We no longer have it stacked on top of main. So main picks up right where it left off. Just continues right where it was. So it saves that value into X. And then it creates the string by using the plus operator, and we print it out. I don't have a console on my display here, right? But it print out that string so we would see it. And it just keeps going. Okay, so to print it out, it invokes the println method, which somehow accepts that argument into some parameter, who knows what they call it, and prints out the value for us. And then we just keep moving through the code. Next thing we have to do is another invocation of carbon date, which looks very similar. We create memory for carbon date. We copy over the value of the argument into the parameter. And we walk through what it does, creating the variable age, invoking log, getting back the result of log, performing the multiplication, casting, and returning. Then we concatenate up the string. And we invoke println in order to print out the second message. Then we're done. And so all the variables for main disappear. The program's over. Yes?
So does it matter if you have, do you have to have your main string over the class that you have the carbon date class? Or does it matter if the carbon date class is like a double box?
Good question. The order of methods inside a class is irrelevant. Okay? Classes act like buckets. You can put things anywhere inside of them you want. The only place order matters, with a few very small exceptions, the only place order matters is inside a method body, where we do the first statement and then the second. Anywhere else, you can scramble things up pretty much with impunity. So I could just as easily have written carbon date above main. I could have written in a separate class. Both of those would have worked fine. Other questions? No other questions. Okay. Well then. All these slides are up on the lecture notes. You're welcome to look over them if you want to at some point. What we're going to do now is we're going to switch gears. We're going to start looking at some code and talk about how the concepts we just reviewed impact how we write methods ourselves. So, let me switch over to Eclipse. I have created a class called MethodWork. I have given it a main method. You notice the main method is void, which means it cannot return a value. It's static. Great, that means we can run it. So let's make ourselves a method. And since we just talked about it could be in any position, let's put it up above instead. Let's make a method int add that adds two ints. Okay, I need the word static there. And then let's say int z equals x plus y and return z. Okay? I defined a method. It's really simple. It just does addition. We could do that with a plus sign, but this allows us to talk about how the method works. Okay? Again, we have public and static. Then we have the type of thing that's being returned, the name of the method, and the parameters, what we're going to call the stuff that must be supplied every time we run the method. So, down here, when we're going to use it in our main method, let's make an int x equals 3, int y equals 4. How about... method work dot add y and x. X plus y equals z. Okay. So I've written myself a main method. It declares three variables. X and y as 3 and 4. Z as the add method applied to them. And then it prints out what we've got. Okay. And if I run this, I will see, unsurprisingly, 3 plus 4 equals 7. So, all well and good. But you'll notice I put y first and then x when I invoked add. And this is because the variables are completely independent of each other. Okay? The variables that exist in main's memory. They exist inside this block, these curly braces. They do not exist anywhere else. I have a separate set of x and y and z inside add. They are unrelated to one another. In fact, if I want to, I can rename things in arbitrary ways. I can, for example, call this size of the earth, or anything I want to call it. It's a strange name, but it works, okay? Because the names of the variables in one class are one method are independent of the names in another method. There's no overlap. Okay? So I'm welcome to reuse variables if that's the right thing to do. I can make different ones if that's what I want to do. So in fact, when I'm writing the method add, in general, I don't even know what variables will exist in whatever method's invoking it. Right? Because add could be invoked by lots of methods. So in general, I don't even know that what they're called. I just know what add has decided to call its parameters, its arguments. Okay? So I can do this. It's also worth noting that I cannot access variables from the other method. So as currently written, x is defined only in add. Because x is defined only in add, x does not exist in main, I can't print it out in main. It isn't there. Similarly, I cannot do anything with size of the earth up here. Because size of the earth is a variable it's defined in main, it's not a variable it's defined in add. It won't let me do that. Okay? So I have to use the variables that are defined inside the method at hand. Another thing to note as we're looking at this is that I have to return the right type. If I try to return a double from an int method, it won't work. Same reason I can't assign a double value to an int variable. The types have to line up. Okay, we've seen a fair amount. Questions? Any questions at all? Yes?
Can you define the variable in the public class method where it wants outside of both the methods? Could you refer to it in each
method? Okay, so the question is, can I define a variable out here? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Yes, I can. And I can use that variable inside both of them as long as I make it also static. Very unusual to do that, unless you also make it final. Why is it unusual? How do I describe why it's unusual? Usually, if you find yourself wanting some variable outside of the methods, you're doing something wrong. And you might not immediately notice it, but then next time you try to change your code or read your code, you'll realize, oh, I did something wrong. It's not a universal truth, which is why you're able to do that. But in general, if you find yourself wanting some variable to transfer between methods, you've done something unwise. And so we discourage you from doing that. If you want to do something that will never change, if, for example, I want to define that W always means 321, then I make it final, and I probably also make it public, although I don't have to make it public. So constants are reasonably defined outside methods. We often want to share them. Things that can change, it's fairly unusual to want to share between methods. But can be done if you want to. Any other questions? Nope. Okay, so let's try ourselves a quick little survey. I'm going to make a public static int swap method. Okay? The goal of this method is to swap the values of A and B. That's what I want to do. Come to think of it, I don't even need to return anything, I don't think. I think I can make it void. Because I just want to change what's in each box. So, to change what's in each box, the obvious thing to do is A equals B and B equals A. But this won't work, because one of them will happen first, and they'll both end up with the same value. So make some temporary, which is going to have the old value of A before I replace it with B. Temporary. So I make this method. So if, for example, A was 1 and B was 2, I save 1 into temporary, I copy 2 into A, and I copy the value of temporary, which was 1, into B, and I swap their values. Okay? Questions about how the swap 3 lines of code are working? Yes?
Does B equals temporary mean B equals A?
Means B equals A's old value. Okay? So let's see what happens. Let's suppose A is 1, B is 2 to start with. Okay? After this line, they're still the same, and then temporary equals 1, right? On this next line, we've copied what used to be in B into A. And on this line, we've now copied what was in temporary into B. Okay? So we need that temporary because if we didn't have it, then the A equals B would make them both 2, and we'd never be able to get back the 1. So we save these temporary variables so that we can do the swap. Other questions about this piece of code? Okay. So, this is a strange name. Let's switch it back to something reasonable. All right, so I'm going to do here, I'm going to make variable x, I'm going to make variable y, I'm going to swap them using the swap method. And I'll print them out. Okay? Simple enough code. Turn to your neighbor and decide what it's going to produce. Hint, it's only going to print one line, and that line's going to have an and in the middle. That leaves you with two numbers to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay, I put up here five options. I've numbered them. Option one, it'll print 3 and 4. Option two, it'll print 4 and 3. Option three, it'll print 3 and 3, or 4 and 4, or something that isn't one of those. Okay? I'd like you to hold up so that I can see them. I don't care if other people can see them or not, so you can hold against your chest, wherever you want to be, the number of figures that corresponds to what you think the output will be. Okay, so I'm seeing a lot of twos and this number of ones. So two seems to be leading, and this seems to be second. All right. And these other two, the other three, it sounds like I didn't notice anybody doing them. So we've got these two options. And most people seem to like this one, but only a few people like that one. Let's try it. 3 and 4. Why? Why did it do 3 and 4 instead of 4 and 3? We just said our swap method works. Let's prove our swap method works. So let's actually print stuff out up in here. Okay? Let's do a system.out.println A and B. Okay, so I'm going to do a print up here. I'm going to print them out before and after the method is run. Do it very first and very last. I'll even put the... Okay? So now I see 4 and 3, 3 and 4, 3 and 4. Okay? So it does swap them, but it doesn't say swapped. Why not? Maybe it's because I put Y first that somehow messed it up. Let's try X first. Nope, still doesn't fix it. So what's happening? Anybody have a thought? Why is this happening this way? Yeah. The swap isn't returning anything, so X is still 3 and Y is still 4. This is correct. Okay? Let's look back at our pictures earlier. When I invoke carbon date, it gets stacked on top. Different set of variables. I can't see the old ones. So my X and Y variables, I can't see them, I can't change them. When the method goes away, they will still have whatever they had before. X and Y are mains variables, and swap can't touch them. No matter what you do with your method, you will never make a swap method in Java that works for primitives. You can't do it. You can kind of make it work for arrays and array lists in a half-hearted sort of way. We may or may not talk about that. Probably not today. We may talk about it a little on Friday. But we cannot swap values because a method can only touch its own variables. You cannot modify somebody else's variables. I understand why this does not swap the values. Nope, still don't get it. Okay, we've got a handful that... let's see what happens here. Let's suppose... Let's try printing out X and Y. Okay, I can't do this. And I can't do this because X and Y don't exist. X and Y are defined only in terms of main. Swap can't see them by the names X and Y. Okay, the names X and Y are not available. The names X and Y only exist inside their curly braces down here. They do not exist inside these curly braces up here. Okay? Different set of braces, different scope, different variables. So I can't use them by name X and Y, which means I have my own two boxes, my own A box, my own B box. I can swap what's in the A box and the B box absolutely however I want, because the A box and the B box are swaps boxes. They are not mains boxes. Main can't see them. So I could even do arbitrary junk, like I could say A equals 110 and B equals 111 and just arbitrarily get rid of the old values And nobody cares because these are A and B. They are not X and Y. So from swap's perspective, I've changed the values of those variables. From main's perspective, we gave them some numbers, and they ignored them, changed them into something else. Okay? But the fact is, we gave it to them, and then they didn't do anything to ours. They gave nothing back. I can't even do swap where I return something, because I can only return one type of thing. And if I only return one type of thing, one int, I can't swap two values that way. So there is no way to make methods share variables. The only communication that can happen between methods is copying arguments, copying, in this case, 3 and 4 into parameters, so putting numbers into boxes. And then we can also communicate with return, which puts a number from the method back out to whoever invoked it. And that's the only way we can communicate between methods, unless we create the static variables, which is usually considered a bad idea. So they cannot communicate in any other way. That's all they've got. Okay. Time. All right, let's talk a little bit about coding bat. So, we've really hit almost everything there is to know about methods already. They're not a complicated subject from a number of individual concepts. And yet, many of you will still be frustrated by them weeks from now. And so we're going to try our best to give you options for not being frustrated by them weeks from now. One of those, there's a website called CodingBat. I'll just go to it. CodingBat.com. And it has lots of opportunities to write methods. So let's glance here. Let's pick a fairly easy one. Okay? When you look at a method in CodingBat, it will give you a description. Given a string name, such as Bob, return a greeting in the form, "Hello, Bob." And then give you 3 examples of what it should look like. Okay? There's lots of these. You write a method. They even give you the method header. It's a public static. They don't put the word static, though. CodingBat doesn't like static. So you just say public string, name, parameter, what do you want to do with it? And then I can say whatever I want to say here. So I'm going to return, "Hello, Bob." Oh, there's no comma. Bob. Okay? So I write my method, and then I press the go button. And after I press the go button, it will give me how many of the cases I got right. Okay? It'll say exactly what it ran, what it expected to see, what it actually got, and if I got it right. For every one of the methods. And you'll see that "Hello, Bob" only works for Bob. All these other names, not so much. Okay? And then you can try it again, and you can try it again. As fast as you want, you can work through this and say, okay, so this must have to be plus name. Okay, and then I say go. And then it finds out that I got them all wrong because I forgot the exclamation point. And then I add the exclamation point. And I click go. And now I got them all right. Hooray! I get a big check mark. If you get all of them right in an area, you get a big star, and hooray. So, this is a great opportunity to practice methods and also practice other odds and ends that we've learned along the way, right? So if arrays are a little fuzzy, they've got array 1, and later on they've got array 2 and array 3. Lots of array problems you could work on. They've got other kinds of problems as well. CodingBat was actually written for the CSAP exam, so they've got a whole section called AP questions. You're welcome to try them out if you want. We're not going to assign you to do CodingBat, but we encourage you to take a look at it and try to get more familiar with how you write an individual method. From here on out, the whole semester, we'll be writing and using methods. All of our assignments, all of our examples, methods will rule the day. So you'll see plenty of examples of it. The sooner you can become familiar with that, the better. You got a question?
Does it tell you like what you did wrong, like how you did it wrong?
It tells you a bunch of inputs and what the output was expected to be.
They give you a detailed solution.
A few of them give you solutions. So if you see a little H next to it, it means there's a hint. Okay? There's also the warm-ups where everything has hints. But others don't have them. However, CodingBat, because there are teachers that use it as assignments, there are people that want to cheat, and so every solution to every CodingBat's online somewhere. And since we're not assigning it, it's not cheating for you to go look for them in this class, right? So if you really need a solution, you're welcome to go look it up. There are multiple ways to do most of them correctly. But it's an opportunity to practice, to go at the batting cages and try it out. Okay, I'm just about out of time. So let me Let me reiterate a few last things and sort of prepare you for what we're doing next. So, on Friday, I will be out of town. Thursday and Friday office Thursday for office hours for me will not happen. Professor Bassett's already out of town. We're at an education conference. We will, however, have some TAs here on Friday who will be presenting more about methods, give you some opportunities to practice them. You'll also get to practice them a little on lab tomorrow. So you'll get a little practice there, hopefully reinforce some of these concepts. Then when we come back from break, we'll give you some homework assignments associated with them in pairs. And I will see you all after break.